Where's my sound? Recording in progress. Can you still hear me? And I can hear you. Okay. Oh, hi, listeners. Yes, my unedited, raw, and real podcast. All noises and oopsies, yours for the consumption. Oh, I'm streaming it to YouTube this time, and I had to. Anyway, whatever. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the welcome to the powerful everyday women of the world. Welcome to the Startup Stories podcast, where women who business and or business are heard, held, and served, bringing you relatable stories to keep you sane, grounded, and growing as you deliver your purpose, and if you so choose, grow a business. You guys, I can't even. I'm so. Oh, to the show. And Shate is going to blow our socks off. No pressure, girl. But here is someone who is now running a career stewardship business, a career finding define live on purpose, serve on purpose, and be in your purpose. Okay. And I mean, Shate has already demonstrated grace, compassion, heart, authenticity through our email exchanges, through her very around. And I mean, I already loved her heart, and now having her face in front of me, I'm over the moon and just thrilled to get to know her more, share her with you, and go digging in what her life's experience has been and how it can serve us. And has a huge portfolio. It would take the whole episode to describe it. So instead, let's just give you some of the beautiful highlights about this beautiful soul. She's a creative strategist and a storyteller. Shate Hayes is on a mission to help professionals everywhere feel us over a decade in her first career as a professional dance choreographer, making stories come to life on stages. And that doesn't do it credit. Go and Google her after you listen to us, and you will see her body of work is so robust and so beautiful and so very real talent. Very, very beautiful. She's now an ed tech leader, which she can explain to us what that is, as she embeds strategy and storytelling into career content and programs. Now, as a consultant and the founder of Career Steward, Shate-driven creatives and nonprofits grow their work. This is so beautiful. There are so many layers to all of this, so many different ways to, find and give service through what you've created and through your journey. So, I want this to be about you. So, welcome to the show. And let me just.
Thank you so much, Mia, for having me. I mean, like, wow, what a warm, beautiful, thoughtful introduction. I'm just so humbled by it. So thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to jump into wherever this conversation leads us.
Let's do it. Let's do it. You know,
Yeah.
this is great. Like, when I was looking at this huge body of work, but here you are. You're just a very real, a very grounded and authentic woman, right? And so, how do you view your body of work, the impact, legacy in the world, and yourself?
Ooh, that's an interesting question that I've not ever gotten before. I love when I get qu new questions. I will first say, when it comes to my body of work, I have always positioned myself as someone who's in service to my calling, and so in service to the people that I'm serving. So the even as a professional dancer, choreographer, educator, I think there is a stereotype that, you know, maybe most performers or artists have this sort of ego about them. And I think that is also a very real experience that can be true. And there are still so many of us who are in service to the work that we're doing, service in service to the project. So I always say, what is best for this project? What is best for the people that I'm here to see? What's the message that I'm trying to convey to them? So whether it is professional dance, whether it was my corporate career, you know, leading EdTech is just, you know, education technology companies. And so I worked in workforce development in that space. And it's like, how can I help these professionals get to the next place in their career? And even now as a consultant, how can I help people feel proud of the work that they do, go out confidently and talk about that work so that they can get more work? It's literally the way that I say so grounded and humbled is that it's not about me. It's about, you know, the folks that I'm here to serve.
Okay. So it's a gift and a talent that you have that is beneficial to others. So it's easy to be the person who does that work. And then, you know, it doesn't mean that everything's running top notch or that you've got this so-called all figured out. It just means that you have mastered your craft and now monetized it and monetized it well.
Well, I think
Yeah.
it's relative. But yeah, absolutely. Like on that path for sure.
Yeah, fair. That's fine. We're good. I don't know if it, am I freezing up on you a little, or are we running clear?
Yeah, you are a
Okay.
little bit. It's I'm every couple of seconds you're freezing for me a little bit.
Yeah, same. Okay. Well, we'll just allow for some space if we get a bit of a delay. And listeners, I really like this opening because it allows, like for me, it's bringing forward this concept that we're not who we be, isn't really who what we do, but what we do be something out a lot in the coaching space, and I'm building a coaching business, right? And it feels like there's a lot of to be a coach, you are, I don't know, extra, but to be a coach is to be masterful in a gift and to be able to serve it well, some benefits from that, but not be. Let's say superhuman, you know, fully transcendent or like enlightened necessarily.
Yeah, I think coaching, I even sometimes go back and forth with that word, but there's definitely a very huge element of my work that is just that. It is like, how do you guide, pull out, usher the potential inside of someone so that they can just be more of themselves? They can be bigger, greater, happier, fuller versions of themselves. And that really, again, like I think my lived experience plays a part in that because I know what it's like to, you know, have so many of the experiences that the people I'm supporting have had or.
To and at that impact.
Yeah, I. It's sort of, I guess, where I'm getting kind of stuck a little bit. And I don't know how healthy this is, but I'm going to be honest. Like the separation between who we are and what we do. Very true, very real, very healthy separation to have. And because I identify my work as so purpose connected, as like what I feel like I came here to do, I sometimes have a hard time honestly separating those things. Even so much so that, you know, when I decided to transition from my dance career, I had a very real, very not fun identity crisis because I was like, oh, if I'm not dancing, who am I? What am I doing? You know, like, how can I face the professional world as anything but that? And even so much so that it felt like, oh, this is exactly what I was supposed to be doing. My graduate school thesis was on the connection between spirituality and creativity. And so I felt somehow like, ooh, even as a mover, I am somehow just like a vessel of this thing that's bigger than me, right? And so now I'm deciding to do something else. What does that mean? But even in all of the work that I've had beyond that career, it's still always been about, okay, how can I use what's in me to serve other people? And so because that feels so much like a lifestyle, like a so much of a value of mine, sometimes it does feel a little bit difficult to sort of separate, what I do from who I am, because it's always showing up. Even in my like personal conversations, I'm sitting here talking, and then all of a sudden, some kind of way, we're gonna end up talking about career and maybe how you're not happy and how you can get to being happy, or tell me about your business and like what's going on with your business. I don't know, it doesn't turn off for me. So I don't know if that's the best way to answer the question, but that's literally how it's showing up in my real life. I don't necessarily recommend that to everyone else, but it just happens,
So, who you are, let's see, who you are really empowers you to monetize the gifts in that. And to be fulfilled with a meaningful execution of purpose,
Yeah,
which is
100%.
awesome. So long ago, one of my first coaches, the hook was make money being you. And I thought, oh, juicy. Yeah. And I feel like that's super cool because, guys, that means that it's not a destination or a conditional like outcome. It is available within, and can you get clear enough and be willing enough to explore it and allow it to go out into the world to see what happens, right? And so you perfectly give context to this in spending such a dedicated and thorough time as a professional dancer and beyond to a huge shift into a career steward, a very different way of serving, but it was who you continued to evolve into, and you pursued that and were willing. And now look at that body of work. And certainly, if we're really, I think in our, I like the word like our free self, our free version, then naturally our passions will come up. It's kind of wonderful because then it's really easy. And then maybe the hard part is turning it into something monetizable.
I wouldn't even say that it's necessarily the hard part. I think what trips up folks is that because the things in our, I like that idea of a free, our freest self, our highest self, there are things that we all do that just come so easy to us, that are so natural, that we sort of miss them as opportunities to make a living, right? And so we're like, oh, this thing that comes super easy, like, why would anybody pay me for this? Is it enough? Even sometimes I catch myself when I'm like in strategy sessions with folks and I'm like, am I giving them enough? And they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I'm like, but did I do enough because it comes so naturally to me? And I'm just like, what about this idea and this idea? And oh, and you can do it like this. I'm like, right. And so we're just going and going and going to the point where I have to say, oh wait, that is the thing. That's what they came to me for. And so I think that when we are sort of, I don't know, the word passion and purpose sort of intimidate some people. So I'm always cognizant of saying like, the things that are your strengths, your interests, your curiosities, the things that move you, that piss you off, that make you cry, like all of those are clues and cues to some sort of larger assignment value for you in the world. When you're operating inside of those and like you find your flow and time doesn't exist anymore, the ikigai, like they say, like that Japanese sort of term, then there is a world where that value that you're creating in the world just like you can easily and clearly turn that into a sustained living.
Which is a wonderful opportunity if one is inclined to pursue entrepreneurship or to welcome in feeling more fulfilled and more passion fueled on a regular basis.
Absolutely, which I 100% recommend because when we don't, when we hate our jobs, when we're just tolerating them, it's literally killing us. Like it's compromising our mental health, our physical health. We're not making as much money. We're compromising our relationships. And so, like, enjoying what you do, whether you're an employee or you're working independently or you're an entrepreneur, like, it's important to our overall well-being.
Yeah, finding ways to stay open and uplifted, connected to something that matters to us, and then attract more of it, pursue more of it. So I'd love to
Absolutely.
know then, was dance a passion, and then did it feel sort of like a book of life path to follow, or were you quite convicted that this was, as you said, your identity? And then what shifted? How do you go from
Yeah.
one to the other?
So maybe this is why I have the identity sort of crisis. I came here dancing. Like, I think my parents put me in dance classes at like 3, right? So my entire life, dance was a part of it. And then all of a sudden one day I'm saying, like, I'm renegotiating this relationship I've had with dance my whole life. And not that it was just a part of it, it was like a huge part of it. So I think at the age of 10, I joined, I had, this was probably like my third studio in my lifetime that I remember. I have very long memories. And it, I was in a jazz company. And so Friday nights I'm in 4-hour rehearsals and then I'm in competitive dance. And anyone who's had a child or has been in competitive dance themselves knows that, like, you're rehearsing all weekend and through the week. And then you have competitions on the weekend. It's like, it's just such a thing. You have school and then like dance is everything else. So when I got to college and my mom was like, don't major in dance, pick something else. Because she had been trying to sort of guide me towards professional dance experiences in high school. And I was just kind of like, eh, because I didn't see a version of professional dance that worked for me. Like, I was exposed to A-Lee and Nutcracker and ballet companies, and that was not me. I wanted to be a fly girl on In Living Color, right? So, like, that's what I do. And I was like, I didn't know that that was a career. I didn't know that was a thing, right? So I go to college, but during the whole time, I'm still performing. When I say I've only performed my whole life when it wasn't competitive dance and that became too expensive, then it was like, okay, I'm gonna be a cheerleader. I'm gonna be on the drill team. I was literally always performing. I'm gonna be on the step team. So I get to college and I did the same thing. I just continued to be who I was, which was a performer. And so same thing, cheerleading, step team, I'm dancing everywhere. So when I got out of college, I was like, oh, I wanna enjoy what I'm doing for a living. If I'm spending all this time working, then it's got to be time spent feeling good about what I'm doing. I don't want to hate my job and like loathe what I'm doing every day. So I'm gonna move to LA and I'm gonna be a dancer. And my family was like, "You're doing what now?" I beg your pardon. You know, we just spent all this money for you to go to college and you're doing what? But there was just something within me that was like, "Nope, the follow your joy, whatever that means, follow your heart." And I had no idea what that meant. I took my little $300 in my high school car to LA that broke 2 weeks after I got there. And I figured it out, you know, without, you know, the blogs of content marketing of today and, you know, not as much technology and not as much, you know, whatever we have at our disposal. And 12 years later, you know, had done just choreographed tons of theater, worked overseas and taught people of all ages, like, just got a master's in dance, like literally just did some amazing, beautiful things until one day it was just like, this lifestyle doesn't work for me anymore. Like, I would love to have a family and be placed in the same place for an extended period of time and have a house and just sort of plant roots somewhere. And so the lifestyle of my professional dance career no longer worked for me. And that really threw me for a loop, even though I was like, hey, I'm ready for more. I don't know what the more is. And I started doing other things. It was kind of like, oh crap, like, what does this mean? Who am I? So it was, you know, it was a me following joy, seeing where that takes me to then I've become a different person. And now my joy has evolved a little bit and like trying to figure out how that looks now in this next season.
Okay, that's beautiful. So, how old is Career Steward as a company?
Oh my goodness, we are less than a year old, right? So, but it comprises work that I've been doing over the course of a decade. So it is now this separate entity of its own. But before the end of my dance career, as I'm actually in grad school is where I would say it officially started my whole career body of work. Undergrad students would learn that I had, you know, this career in LA and I had done all these things, and I'd be like, oh, can you Can you help me figure mine out too? And I started blogging, and then I built The Working Dancer, where I was teaching dancers about taxes and turning jobs down and how to like present yourself. I wrote a book about the freelance dancers roadmap. I like
Yeah,
literally
great.
started writing for Dance Magazine and Point, and like this whole like how to make a living doing this thing that you love started in about 2014
Okay.
ish. And that I leveraged that into working in workforce development in the career space. And then finally was like, I really want to spend my time helping people figure out the who of themselves. And the workforce development space, it becomes so much about just the job, like how to get someone a job, any job. And I always hated that. I'd be like, what if they don't like that job? What if they want to do something else? And so now I get to sort of do that my way. Like, what's the thing that you want? Let's figure out how to do it and get it in a way that works for you. And the folks that I love helping the most are people like me with these non-linear backgrounds who real life has happened. You've had to get the real job and you started doing this one thing that's been this unrelated thing, this other unrelated thing. And now you're like, what the heck is, what have I done for the past 20 years?
Yeah.
And how do I talk
Those
about it? Yes.
together.
Yeah.
This is bringing to mind for me the question that we all, overgeneralizing, but that tends to, and that it's, this is a daunting big question. Like, you're five, you don't know what you want to be when you grow up, and yet here we are, grown up, still facing that question. And the way that you just described, we get a job because we didn't really know what we wanted to do, so we picked something that seemed practical or interesting or doable for us. But now think about the revolution and the healing in turning it around to create more of a symbiotic relationship between the person and the work. And then the benefit to the workplace, to have people
Yes.
planted in their gifts, in their purpose, in harmony, to produce, like you were saying, it's so easy for me. Why would anybody pay me to do this?
Yes.
That's incredible value. And that, as you're describing your journey into that, I'm seeing it as your natural evolution. But you're going through it. So, like, I don't know, the puzzle's being built as you go. You don't know what it's going to look like, but
Yeah.
it is what you experienced, and then, like you said, beautifully leveraged into something else that you didn't know what it was going to be. But that is from a very, self-lived place to then give and serve to others, because it's so relate passion that you can show and the understanding. And when somebody might feel that identity loss, to help them navigate that piece of it too. Like, that, I love that. We're kind of, it's almost like that childhood healing as an
Yeah.
adult, and of really clear self-discovery that is nicely associated with work, or generating revenue. So coaching
Yeah.
sometimes focuses on self or spirituality or something, but this is a much more holistic, full body of work.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. You said a lot of things that I could really double click on. First, I hate when we ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow
Yeah,
up?
thank you.
Because like you said, like so many of us adults don't even know. And I even ask adults now, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because it could change. Like who we are at five is not who we are now, hopefully, right? Prayerfully. And so like that is, there are parts of us that say the same, but like how could a 5-year-old know? I mean, so don't even, like, we can go, that's a rabbit hole I can go down. But I did have a coach tell me, like I'm always hiring coaches, consultants, and being in programs. And someone said, like, oh, so you help people sort of find self-acceptance. And I was like, oh, I had not even considered that that was sort of a value that could have come from it from a client. But in a way it is, because when we feel sort of like an ickiness around, is the work that I've done enough? Is it impressive enough? Is it, sexy enough? Is it, insert whatever measure of societal success is, and then we feel a way because we kind of haven't made sense of it ourselves. I guess that is like sort of, I haven't even faced and come to grips or accepted like this journey that I've been on, the choices that I've made, and sort of made peace from that. And so I think all of that is like, it's a part of it, right? I think what, when our careers, when we think about it, we've all had, all of us have had some version of these three questions. What do you do? What have you done? What do you want to do next? And when we are sort of like, I don't know, it's complicated, I don't want to talk about it, like those, that seeps over into real life, right? That impacts all parts of our life. And that's not just for people who are going out for jobs as an employee, like as entrepreneurs too, like we're all on this journey, like what the heck is my business? Like who am I selling it to? How much is it got? Like all of those are the same types of questions. How do we make sense of like the value, professional value we're trying to put out into the world and, you know, go out and do that?
Yeah, and feel connected to that professional value is the
Exactly.
other piece, right? So
Exactly.
that we can stay satiated rather than just doing in order to get a certain
Yeah.
outcome.
Yeah.
So again,
It's not
so helpful.
transactional. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. Entrepreneurship is a different methodology for exploring self, and you know the entrepreneurial roller coaster, as it's often called. But I want to bring together and hear from you. Is it really that different than life anyway? I don't think it is. We
It's
just
not.
view them, oh, entrepreneurship, more freedom. I have a lot of freedom in my 9 to 5. I have a lot of benefits. I have a lot of wonderful abundance that's provided as a result, and flexible, but it's still a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And that job and or entrepreneurialism still require responsibility and diligence and consistency and that sort of thing. So here we can weave a lot of different areas of life, which again will allow us to be a free person operating in whole self, more often than not, regardless of environment.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, entrepreneurship is very much like life. It's and I heard someone, a friend of mine, say it's also like motherhood. Like it's all just testing, right? You're like experimenting things, trying to see what's working, getting the feedback, making an adjustment and moving forward. You're trying to respond to, you know, the things around you. So yeah, it's like one big experiment. I wish my younger self in my 20s, like building this freelance dance career, I was just like in such a rush to get who knows where, like have the career built, be a success, have the money, and sort of like really hating the process. Like, oh my gosh, I was just like, I had utter disdain for how long it was taking and how much more of this I have. Can't I just be there already? And in this season of building my body of work, I have so much more appreciation for the learning, the self-awareness, the feedback, those little whispers that I probably missed when I was in my 20s. Also, where in the heck am I in a rush to get to? Like, let it like evolve, trust the divine timing of it all, right? So it's definitely a lot of that. And you have to, even though I still feel a little cringy about this phrase, the trust the process, I used to hate that. Like, you know, trust the process, what does that mean? But there really is sort of like a trust the journey is probably a better word. Be present while you're in it. You know, like all of these things that I've sort of learned to like simmer down in all of it, you know.
Yeah, like youth, exciting, full of beans, all spicy and ready, raw. And then we kind of evolve away. Like I know I lived like that, and now have zero interest in how I used to be, in so many ways.
Hey.
And I'm very content with this of what is, as we continue to seek expansion in that. And so if we can be grounded here, that's how we can welcome more. But that chase and that scarcity energy leaves you, like you said, feeling empty. And so did you achieve those sort of milestone things, like those trophies that you thought you wanted?
Not in the way that I thought that I would. I did all that chasing and I burnt myself out. Like I legitimately like could not go anymore. I quit dance, like I say often. I left LA and was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I didn't book Beyonce. It's over with. You know, like I didn't do the thing. But then as soon as I sat down and like rested, I literally slept for like a month because in that time of burnout, I was like working overnight at a hotel because I needed to be available during day for auditions. And working overnight is so difficult because it's against your body's natural rhythm. So I was doing that, going straight to auditions often, maybe sleeping a couple of hours, then going to class so that I can network. I'm not eating well, I'm not sleeping enough. I'm just like looking at all the things that aren't happening fast enough until I just one day all I could see was just like, what's the word? Just like I need a word for like not pessimism. All I saw was just like, ugh. That's like it's just
Clutter, maybe just like
clutter and chaos and just like unhappiness,
kind
you
of
know? Just like not joy, the opposite of joy is all I
not
could
joy.
see and feel. And sleeping like really does so much to restore that, especially for me. And so even on the other side of that, when I finally took my hands off of trying to force it to happen in a certain way, it just opened up for me, and my career took off immediately. So I changed locations, changed how I was living, and then all of a sudden, I'm like this professional dancer doing all these really cool things that I had not thought that I would do, but ended up loving them anyways. And so there's something that I've this book that I really like called Playing the Matrix by Mike Dooley, I think, and it's about manifestation and how sort of like so many of us hold on too tight to like the actual picture of the thing when really you manifest. Like you have to detach enough to allow it to come through in the way that it wants to. So hold on to how you want to feel, the feeling of it, but the picture of it can come through any kind of way. And I think at first I was holding on to like, what's the picture of this career? And finally, I just like opened up enough for like, you know, that's when theater came and grad school came and, you know, corporate gigs and like just work in a very different way that was also equally fulfilling. But I would still like to work with Beyonce, just to be clear. So
Just put it out there. Fair point. Well, maybe she needs a career change, like support, right?
I mean, sure. Or maybe your kids or something, but
Her
yeah,
kids and stuff.
something.
Yeah, great. Open. So that there's a lot of things I want to kind of dive deeper into. So the idea that we can control outcome, right? It's kind of kind of misleading. What we can tr control is ourselves and the actions that we take that lead us towards it, or at the same, or backwards. Gym analogy, famous for. I want to lose weight. I went to the gym and worked out, but then I ate Kentucky Fried Chicken and a pint of ice cream. Which brace, guys, brace. We do things sometimes. But giving yourself space to explore and letting go of the outcome is what you're talking about, Chate. And that is another form of freedom and surrender, like we were saying in the preamble, to just see what happens when we show up consistently enough towards the vision and the feelings that we seek. And that feels like a much more peaceful journey. And what you were describing, to even how real you're being with me in this conversation, there's like such a physical kind of softness and droppedness to pursuit with conviction, but I guess not control. And that, what a
The
gift.
control, yes.
So how do you feel now, right? Like,
I feel in the right place at the right time kind of thing. Like I'm learning to trust that, but it's the control. Like after, burnout and lots of years of therapy and my very deep faith and spiritual practice. Sort of in this season, I've learned really, really difficult lessons about how much I don't have control. Like, that's a hard lesson to learn. I think I've gone my whole life sort of like operating in this like perfectionism, and I'm an executor, and like I can get things done, and I'm kind of like because I know how to, maneuver and get things done, I didn't even some kind of how realize that I was like trying to force my life, all areas of my life in that way. But now learning, like I said before we even started recording, I'm just too exhausted to even try to force anything anymore. I have sort of overworked myself into surrender. I just feel like this is where I am. I'm gonna be where I am. I'm gonna keep operating in a spirit of excellence where I am. I'm gonna keep trying to serve as many people as I can and just be in flow with like where joy is, where service is, where ideas and creativity are, where my values are and where the love is. And just, I know that sounds really woo-woo, especially when we're talking about business, but quite honestly, it is like this year of growing my business, even through the ebbs and flows of like, okay, what I'm doing now is not, I didn't have this language, right? When I first started, it was very much like, okay, I'm going to help people transition in their careers is what I was initially saying. And I was like, well, sure. But it's not like job search for me. Like, I don't want to help someone just get a job. I want to help them like figure out a more purpose connected way to work. I want them to have career fulfillment in whatever way that looks like. So even navigating that with all of its ebbs and flows, I've been like, okay, there are moments when I've been like, oh crap. Like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I'm throwing the laptop out the window. It's over, And then there are moments when I'm like, oh, yeah, I got it. Like, this is the language. This is it. And then I'll go right back to being like, oh, crap, overthinking, right? So just being wherever I am, just being there,
Yeah, what you said about trying to force life, right? That is a powerful sentence to meditate on and to really think about that. Trying to control external circumstances, which really is an abdication of power, because your internal space is what will create or attract, manifest, I don't know, bring forward, I think is kind of neutral language, your internal peacefulness, your internal willingness to explore will bring forward things that you wouldn't see if they were smacking you in the face. Right.
That's
And
good.
then also allows you to not end up in a constricted, overspent burnout condition either, because your energy is softer. And so, are you, when you're indicating that you're tired, and so all you can do is surrender, is that part of that relaxing from having tried to force life for so long, or just that?
That's a good question. I think to be honest, for me, I've just had so many like family and personal things happening while I'm trying to build a business. So that is the surrender that I speak to in this season. And I think that even as I built my business, though, I've had enough life, enough wisdom, I've matured even as a leader in my corporate career. And I know what I did in my 20s, and I didn't want to burn out again. And I'm also in a better financial position at this phase of my business. So I, can rely on, like creative financing in terms of like what credit card, how much debt am I willing to take on as I figure this out? Or, like how much from my 401k can I pull out to help figure me out? I figure this out and, I have this contract over here that's gonna carry me. So I've been able to be smarter about my finances, which has definitely taken a pressure off. I've had a lot of coaching so that I know better strategies, like how to approach things strategically. And then I think the other thing that I've learned and the reason that in addition to life-lifing and like it's just kind of forced me into surrender is that I've learned this thing that it seems so obvious, but I've just internalized it this year. I've spent a lot of money trying to pay someone to show me the way to build a business, the way to get to whatever level of success that I want. And I just realized it just sunk in this year that there is no one way. There isn't a way. There's multiple, infinite numbers of ways to accomplish what I want to accomplish. And so just that knowing, that understanding, finally getting it has been like, oh, okay. So actually, I can try this and see if I'm enjoying my work doing it this way, then this is probably going to be fruitful for me at some point. I don't have to go and force myself to do Facebook if that's not what I want to do, if it doesn't align with who I am. I don't have to force myself to insert this other thing that this person made 7, 8 figures doing it. Like, there is a way that is uniquely mine that I can build. And so that has also taken a lot of sort of the angst off. Like, oh, there is no one path. There's my path, and I just need to trust it and walk it.
That is, again, so valuable if we take a minute to really let that sink in, because the internet wants to sell us this idea and this. I love to use the KFC recipe, right? The secret recipe is right one click away, do this thing. And I love how much service is available and how much people are desiring to support one another in their journey. But use your discernment in understanding who is genuine and who is doing it to get an outcome. I don't want to build or serve as a coach in order to brag about the transformation and the speed that, in my case, the woman arrived at, the promise of the coaching package. I want to do it so that she feels more alive. And as she goes about her day, those around her are co-regulating with her energy, and that we are softening together. And I have had to let go of outcome and of, ideas of revenue exchanges, to just be the woman who helps deliver a purpose, helps deliver a shift in someone else. And I benefit every time I team up with somebody. And I've done that by being. And I want to bring in what you're saying, Shate, about there's no one way. So it's going to be really crazy, but stick with me, because we tried to go for dinner at a restaurant, but it was too busy. But on the table was like one of the craziest products I've ever seen. And it was an oriental place, and they had this little patty that would have your soy sauce and your chopsticks. And so like you could leave it on the table, very similar to the ketchup caddy or the breakfast restaurant that will have the little stacks of jam and peanut butter that I love. It's like, that's why I go out for breakfast. And it was just such a specific product. And it got me thinking. And now I started seeing others, and I'll share another example that somebody believed in the value of this so much that they pursued it through patent, they pursued it through design, they pursued it to get it on that table in little Sydney, BC, on Vancouver Island in Canada. Like, we are not a metropolis. We are not the center of the world. We're just a tiny little town. The other product I saw was like this rubber mat that goes behind your sink to hold your sponges and kind of, I don't know, collect the water and whatever, right? So when we say there's no one way, I want to open people's minds to look at everything that's been created and brought to market, and be encouraged that what you have to offer is desired in that place. And in order for it to succeed, it has to work for you too.
Because otherwise you'll quit when it gets hard. It's got to feel good. It's got to feel good. That's good. I love that. I do that often too. I'm looking like there are businesses all around us. Like, oh, that's a business. Oh, that's a business. Oh, that somebody made money doing that. I remember being in grad school, and I decided I was the only graduate dance student who decided to take a couple of business courses as electives. And everybody was like, ugh, why are you doing that? Because I always knew, like, no, there's the end goal for me is entrepreneurship in some way. I just didn't know how at the time. And so I'd taken this, like entrepreneurship class, and they were talking about all these case studies of businesses. And I don't know if it's still in existence, but I will never forget this idea, this business that was like people were sending potato grams to each other, like literally a potato, a brown potato, writing a message on it, and mailing it to someone. And I was like,
Really?
someone is making money off of this freaking business idea. And I'm sitting here overthinking, this other purpose-centered project. But like, there's literally everything, So I love that you brought that to the forefront.
Be encouraged and be certain of value that you can serve from. 100%, 100%. Shate, what would you tell yourself that overworked, burnt out, overperforming version of you from the past? What would you tell her now?
I would tell her to slow down. Like, be where you are. You're okay. You're enough. Like, it's gonna work. I would just literally calm her. Like, give her a hug, tell her you're doing the best that you can with who you are and what you know at this moment. And just like s just settle. Like, settle the I didn't even folks weren't really talking about this in the same way back then, but so much anxiety. I've since learned that I've just been so wound up in anxiety. And so I was just like so anxious and was like, make it happen, make it go, make it go. So just like somehow just try to like settle that for her, like just calm it, like you're okay, you're safe, you'll be fine,
That is sage advice that I really chew on and to hold steady because it is very exciting and very stimulating and activating to find a passion and want to run with it. But as we've explored, the journey of that is also important for your expansion and your success, your outcome, so that you don't end up at a destination that needs to be reinvented or shifted into something entirely different.
That's good.
Well, what do you think your future self is telling your current self?
Oh, probably the same thing. Like,
Yeah.
you're fine. Simmer down. You'll be okay. Like, it all works out. You're doing the best that you can with what you know at the time. Literally, probably the same thing my whole life. Yeah, every version of myself.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Well, like you said, where are we in a rush to go? What are we chasing after? You look back and you missed everything.
Exactly. And that's how I feel about that time in LA. Like, oh, I could have been doing so many other fun things in LA than worrying about my career. Maybe I should have gone to the beach more, the mountains more, or, just something.
Wonderful. Where can we follow you? Where can we get into your space and stay connected to this beautiful holistic energy of, of healing and delivering? It's so
Thank you so much, Mia. Well, I've got a number of resources to sort of help someone figure out, make sense of the past 20 years of their career. One place to kind of start some of that reflection and also get tapped into the career fumbles I share with my community each weekday. I'm like constantly talking about all the things that I did wrong in my career and what I learned about them. You can find that at lightmycareermatch.com. So just like a match, lightmycareermatch.com will be plugged into me and all that I have there. And then if you're on LinkedIn, I'm obsessed with LinkedIn. I'm there all the time. So like feel free to find me and connect.
awesome. Awesome. Brilliant. Well, we'll share all that in the show notes and we'll share this episode out. And I thank you for your work and I thank you again for your grace and just this beautiful conversation. It's been very, very valuable.
Thank you so much for having me, Mia. It's been such my pleasure.